This is a Discovery Health podcast. Get the latest health news and tips on living well at discoveryhealth.com. This podcast is brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to hold meetings over the internet. Reduce travel expenses, save time, just hold an online meeting with GoToMeeting. Try it free. Visit gotomeeting.com/discoveryhealth.
Hello, I'm Camilla Carr for Discovery Health. Today we're having a conversation with Dr. Marisa Weiss. She is president and founder of breastcancer.org, co-author of the book Taking Care of Your Girls, and she's been a breast cancer doctor for 20 years. Dr. Weiss, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
How do we talk about breast cancer as a family?
Well, it's hard to talk about something when you just found out about it yourself, and you may not feel like you have any expertise. You may not even know the words that are used to describe it all. But I think what you need to have is an open dialogue so that anybody in the family can feel comfortable talking about something that's very scary. And your family and everyone around you, including the people you work with, your boss, your community members, will take their lead from you. So realize that you are setting the example and showing them what they can or can't talk about. And it's okay to just be yourself and say what you know, what you don't know. But get the conversation going and let people feel comfortable asking you questions. And that's including kids of all ages, your own significant other, if someone is in your life, mothers, sisters, you know, as I said, coworkers, bosses, everybody. And you want to, say, when someone asks a question, first validate, say, that's a really great question, a really thoughtful question. Here's what I believe to be the right answer to that question. And if they ask a question that you don't know the answer to, say, that's a really good question. I don't know the answer myself, but I also want to know the answer, so I will find out the answer and get back to you and share it with you.
The person you're describing is someone that I would characterize as pretty strong. But I'm thinking that for many women, after they're first diagnosed with breast cancer, they may feel, let's face it, depressed. How are they going to take that back to their families?
There's no question that each of us has different strengths in the moment, and we can feel very weak, and we can even regress and become powerless. And so I think, you know, we have to sort of reach inside and find some strength to at least start the conversation and say, I am feeling really scared, overwhelmed, and confused, and I don't know the answers to any of the questions, but I know that I need to get the answers and share them with you, that whatever I know, I'll share with you. But it would really help me if you came with me to help me ask those tough questions, write down the answers so I can listen to them, understand them, and remember them and bring them back.
So this is,
and then it gets a lot better over time. So in the beginning, when you're feeling completely overwhelmed, after a few days, you can rise up and ask a little bit and then a little bit more. But in terms of sharing information with the people in your life, you want to have an open conversation. You want to invite inquiries and questions and allow them to air their concerns. You are also, though, entitled to your privacy. If there are times that you don't feel like sharing or talking, you're very upset, you'll lose it. You feel like, oh my God, if I talk now, I'm going to, you know, become hysterical. That's not a good time to share the information, but you can say, wow, you have so many good questions, and I want to get ready to answer them for you. Now is not a good moment. But let's do this. Let's set up a time regularly each week. Let's meet, and let me tell you each week what new things I've learned. Trust me that I'm going to share everything with you. And that way, there won't be surprises. And if something significant comes up in between those weekly family meetings or friend conversations or emails that go out, then I'll let you know. And thank you. Always thank people. Thank you for your interest in me. Thank you for wanting to know. Thank you for that good question. Thanks for feeling comfortable with me, trusting me to share that fear and worry that you have. And there'll be times along the way when there are educational moments, when there's something that you learned that was important to share, that would be useful to both of you. And also sometimes going with you to the doctor's office, going with you to get a test done or get a treatment like chemotherapy. Those are educational moments themselves, and when they join you and support you and take you there and back, they're doing something helpful to you, and that is therapeutic. For people to reach out to somebody else and help them is therapeutic.
What other ways can your family help you?
Well, your family can help in a lot of ways, like doing things around the house helps each other, you know, loading the dishwasher, unloading it, doing the laundry, taking things off the steps, you know, organizing their stuff, getting your homework done, picking stuff up, you know, from, you know, getting repairs and getting the dog taken care of and walked, getting food prepared and shop, make sure there's food in the refrigerator, driving you back and forth to a test, going to the post office. All of those things, those little tasks can be very cumbersome, and if someone can unload them from your day, that feels so great. But don't take something away from a woman going through breast cancer that makes her feel significant. Like if she likes to read her kid a story at the end of the night, don't take that away. Let her do that. If she's too tired to do it at bedtime, let her do it earlier than bedtime. You know, don't be intrusive, but ask how you can be helpful.
So what I'm hearing from you is that it's so important to continue a family's daily routine as much as possible.
That's a great question. All those regular routines, rituals, and rhythms in your life are very therapeutic and help you sort of keep on track for you and everybody else. Particularly with kids, there's a structure of their day, their week with school and sports and after-school activities and community responsibilities. Same for you. If you have a regular rhythm and you put a calendar, a family calendar up and put everything on paper, so everyone knows what everyone else is doing and things don't get, you know, fall through the cracks.
What are some of the most common questions that family members ask someone once they've been diagnosed with breast cancer?
Well, children often ask if this is my fault, if I did something wrong that made this happen. So you have to make sure that you straighten that out right away. Kids will worry that you're withholding things from them and that things are worse than you're letting on. There's a sense of fear about that. Some family members may worry that your cancer is contagious or that the treatment that you're going through, like radiation, may make you radioactive and they shouldn't touch you. So you can find yourself isolated from those perspectives. You have to get it out there and make a joke of it. Say, breast cancer is not contagious. Just letting you know, I can hug you at Thanksgiving and Christmas time. You're not going to catch anything from me. The radiation isn't, you know, I'm not radioactive. I'm not going to glow in the dark. Mm-hmm. And laugh it off. But a lot of people still feel that way. A lot of people think, oh, no, like a lover might think, oh, I was too aggressive in touching. And maybe I caused this, when really in a vigorous touch or being bumped in the breast has no impact on breast cancer risk.
That leads me to my next question. What kind of impact does a diagnosis of breast cancer have on personal intimacy between a woman and her partner?
Well, upon a diagnosis, when you're full of fear and you're anxious, you know, your interest in sex stops instantly, and most people stop becoming sexually active immediately, and they're worried about resuming. A woman feels like she's damaged goods, she's not feeling sexy, she's got bandages, incisions, she's hurt. She's worried that her partner won't find her attractive, or if she doesn't have a partner, she worries that no one will want her. Breast cancer does shake up all relationships. It can make a good relationship stronger. It can make a non-committed relationship more committed. But it can also be fallout where relationships that were already limping end, or a difficult marriage gets worse. And so it is a time of many changes, and it's important to get support as you move through it. And don't assume that your experience is your partner's experience. Even if you don't feel sexy, does not mean by any means that your partner doesn't still find you attractive and sexy. So you got to kind of talk about these things, and you work your way through it. But a lot of times that physical connection, that intimacy, is what's so important. You can do a lot of cuddling, a lot of walking together, a lot of sharing together, having fun together, romance, and of course jewelry gifts always help. I like dark chocolate, but as well. So there's a lot of ways that you can be intimate without sort of physically touching, but it is important to address the changes in the lack of intimacy that can happen overnight that can be the glue or the fun in a relationship.
But how do you open up this conversation?
Got to start talking. She goes, I know this is really hard for me to talk about, and I know that we're not connecting and we're misunderstanding each other, and it's probably because we haven't had, you know, intimacy for a while. And just so you know, I still find you really attractive, but I don't feel quite as attractive, and I don't, I'm too tired, I'm too worried, I can't keep my mind on it. But let's find a way for us to have some time together alone where we can be intimate again. It may be in the morning rather than at night. It may be on the weekends rather than during the week. It may be the week after, 2 weeks after my chemo rather than on the heels of chemo. It may be that we change positions or we change up our routine. It may be that there's more foreplay required rather than just jumping in and right to intercourse. I might need lubricants now when I didn't before. We may need to watch a sexy movie or read a sexy book or start with a fun dinner or start the whole performance earlier in the day.
Mm-hmm.
This podcast is brought to you by GoToMeeting, the web-based tool that lets you hold instant online meetings from your office, conference room, or home office with people anywhere in the world, so you can do more and travel less, which means you can save money and make more money. Try GoToMeeting free. Visit GoToMeeting.com/discoveryhealth.
Dr. Weiss, how do you tell your coworkers about this? How do you tell your boss? Because this is a very private matter.
Well, you are absolutely entitled to your privacy, and you don't have to disclose everything to everybody at once or even along the way. What you do want to do is let your boss know and your coworkers know that you're dealing with a medical challenge and you're going through a bunch of tests and procedures, and as soon as you know more, you will be prepared to share what you know, and that if you're going to be out for periods of time or if you're able to do less while you're at work, you'll also let them know. But during this time, you really appreciate their flexibility and your ability to schedule the medical consultations and the tests and procedures that you need in order to figure it all out. And it may be that you need to work from home certain days or come in later and work later or cut back. And you can also say, can I meet with the HR director and find out what am I entitled to? How many sick days do I have? What disability do I have? Just know your options. You may never need them, but it's always more reassuring to know what's there and know more of your medical benefits. And if you don't have medical benefits, find out what resources are available to you.
Is there a single piece of advice, Dr. Weiss, you could give someone on how they can tell their family, on how they can tell their coworkers once they've been diagnosed with breast cancer?
Well, first, get the conversation going and reveal a little bit at a time and keep the loop of conversation open and express your intent to keep them informed over time and thank them for their care of you, their appreciation of what you're going through, and for their willingness to help you manage the process and get back to life where you are productive worker, you are an active mom or a partner or a community member, and really show that you trust them to be part of your team, your support team through it. And you can just say, I don't have all the answers now. I don't know what I can and can't do, but I promise you that I will do everything I can to beat this, and I will try to do everything I can to fulfill my job as best I can. But if I can't, there may be a period of time where I just can't do everything. So I really appreciate your help in prioritizing what I need to do now and what I can put off for later, other tasks that other people can pick up on, flexibility in terms of working from home, working from work, setting up a flexible arrangement, shifting hours, things like that. But I think that to really get the conversation going, explain that it's very hard for you to have this conversation. You've never had it before. You don't have experience dealing with something so serious and scary, but you have confidence that you're working with a team of doctors that will help you get through it and that you promise to communicate with them as soon as you know something that will be important for them to know.
Dr. Weiss, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
For Discovery Health, I'm Camilla Carr.